Y'all ready for the word?
Yay! I'm excited to be at House of Manna. Amen. I'm Pastor Jennifer from City of God Worship Center. That's a ministry that God has given me and my husband. That's our baby. And it is developing. Amen. God is opening some tremendous doors for my husband and I. And I see the call of my life coming forward. But I don't know what House of Manna was expecting, because my God, on Wednesday, the Lord got a hold of me. To the point that I was prostrate on the floor in prayer, in his presence. You see, I wanted to get together and write a word. And I told Miss Inez, you know, your first lady, I told her, you know, yes, I know exactly what to say. And the Lord said, you know what, daughter? I'm not going to feel you anymore until you get in my presence. And, you know, the struggle was real. Because there's things that I've been waiting for in my life. And it seems like there's just been a lot of opposition and opposite to what I've been waiting for in God. And I was walking around. And God was gracious to go with me and gracious to fill me, even though I felt void, to go and minister at places. But he said, for this house and the women that would be here today, you will not get filled further until you get on your face. And for a few hours, I did. And God had to purge some stuff out of me before I could give to you. So I want to thank you, First Lady, for inviting me. I believe we're going to have a great time. And I want to honor Pastor Laura Torres from Sold Out Believers and her daughters that are here. Amen. You know, I want to tell you something, that it is beautiful when you see a couple of pastors get together, because unfortunately in the kingdom of God, that's a difficult thing to do sometimes, that we could just come in as women of God. But the Lord is teaching me that kingdom women don't compete. Amen. Kingdom women complement. Amen. And so kingdom women, I got to say this before I even begin the word, they come hand in hand. And they come in mutual respect and in celebration of the unique giftings, with the understanding that it's not I or you, but us. Because it's that way that we bring in a beautiful, flawless portrait of our King, Jesus. That's what the world needs to see. And so in complete synchronization with the rhythm of the Holy Spirit, we move together in distinction. You got to know that, women of God, that you're not blurred and blended with other women groups or feminist groups or women on the move or business women of the year. You're from the kingdom of heaven. But the Lord spoke to me and said a lot of it is head knowledge and not heart knowledge, because there's a heart issue right now. But we're going to unveil that tonight. You see, kingdom women, they're notable, they're remarkable, they're esteemed, they're clothed in his righteousness. They are indwelled with the Spirit of Almighty God. And he graces us with wisdom and understanding, with true discernment and heavenly power, equipped to do what? To advance his kingdom on this earth. And so you got to understand that we've been mantled with the gift of leadership, and we're supposed to influence and inspire within the sphere that we've been assigned, that we march forward with the holy mandate before us. And we know we're going to make a lasting impact in the world for the glory of God. I know that when God calls me to speak somewhere, it's not to patty cake with you. And some of you will receive it and some of you will go away. Like the rich young ruler who followed all of the commands. But when Jesus touched on the personal issue to sell all of his goods and to give it to the poor and then follow him, he went away disheartened because he couldn't do it. So the Lord gave me something to go deep tonight, because he's got to extract something that's hindering the birth of the promise that we've been waiting for. And so there's an ordained direction that God has empowered us to follow. And as we follow and obey, we begin to rise with a new level of determination and courage and unwavering faith. You see, we've been mantled with the gift of leadership. We as women, young and old, we've been mantled with the gift of leadership to go forward. But we have to be properly prepared and properly positioned. And the Lord reminded me, as I thought about the women of God that are around me right now, that Mary could celebrate and Elizabeth. And Elizabeth could celebrate Mary. See, when you read in the Word Luke 1:41-45, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby that was within her leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she blessed the fruit of her cousin's womb. As a matter of fact, she said, "The sound of your greeting reached my ears, and the baby in my womb leaped for joy." Not all women, but there are certain kingdom women that the minute I meet them, they make the spiritual baby in my womb leap. And they celebrate it. And I celebrate them. Because we understand that God is doing a great work through us and in us and even more unified together. And the same for Deborah and JL. Deborah would ignite JL to move. Deborah commanding the general to go. JL would be positioned to take over the enemy and end his reign. And so there's Deborahs in this house that absolutely, it's your time to move. Because there's an effect that it's going to have on a JL that's learning that through her trade, she's able to take out the enemy in her life. And you see, God tonight wanted me to speak on the womb. And so we're going to talk about Hannah, which is very familiar to many of us. But I believe he's going to give us some insight tonight. Amen. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for these women here tonight, Father God. I just ask you, Lord, that the revelation that you have placed within my spirit would begin to reach every woman in this place that is waiting on you, that may be in a place of being disheartened, Father God. I thank you that your truth, by the power of the Holy Spirit that is in this place, will begin to break every lie of the enemy, will begin to bring light to them, Father God, will begin to ignite a hope in them, Father God. It will cause the embers of their heart to relive again. I speak freedom and liberty in this house, Father God. I thank you for clarity today, Lord. I thank you that you've always been with us and you've never forsaken us, Father. I thank you that your promises are yes and amen, that you are true and faithful, that you're not a man that you should lie, Father God. I thank you that the word that you've deposited in all of us, Lord, in some form or fashion, Father God, in some season, Father God, that your word will not return void, but it shall return, Father God, with everything that you have sent it out to do and sent it out to be, Lord. Now I pray, Father God, that you open hearts in this place tonight, that you would just open the spiritual eyes and ears to hear, Father God. And I thank you, Lord, that tonight we shall leave this place refreshed and refocused, Father God, and reignited to believe that your word for our life will come and be fulfilled. We thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, have your way in this place. Knowing every heart, knowing every issue, I thank you that you bring revelation and you deposit in our spirit purpose again. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. So I'm going to read a passage that's very familiar. But there's some things that I want to share with you that the Lord gave me. And this is Hannah's story in Samuel 1:1-20. So it says that now there was a certain man, a Ramathaim, Zophim, of the mountains of Ephraim. And his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, son of Zoph, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also, the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah. although the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival, I don't know if y'all have had rivals around you, but her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was year by year she went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her. Therefore, she wept and did not eat. I'm going to stop right there. The key scripture that I'm going to touch on tonight is out of 1 Samuel 1:5. But the Lord had closed her womb. The Lord had closed her womb. I want to tell you that there are times that God will see fit to close something up. You know, it was amazing to me that I had gone to a women's meeting that I was invited to about a month ago to come in and sit in and listen. And it was a beautiful word from the sister. There was over 100 women there. And it was on the Father's love. And, you know, the woman of God, she was on point. She was talking about when God gives you a promise and we should wait on the promise and he's faithful to perform the promise and he's given you a strategy and, you know, he's given you his word. And I heard the Holy Spirit pose a question to me, because sometimes I'll observe the countenance of the women there. And the countenance that I began to see on some women that he would point out to me, they still looked troubled. They still looked burdened. They still looked sad. And the Holy Spirit asked me, what of those women who have been told that God is going to do it and still have not? What of those women who have received a prophetic word with all their heart, yet nothing looks like anything regarding the promise? What of those women who have applied the strategy and have been living in obedience and right standing before the Lord, yet they are harassed and vexed by the enemy? What word of encouragement did God give to them? And as I looked at some of the women, I couldn't say. You know, sometimes the Holy Spirit asks me some crazy questions, and I'm like, okay, he's teaching me something. He's teaching me something. And all I saw on some of them was still no answer. And I know that feeling when you go to a conference sometimes and you're revved up, man, this is where God's going to speak to me. And you go and you hear, and it's the same thing. Can I be honest? Sometimes it's recycled revelation from another great somebody on a big platform. I remember going to one way across town. Man, it had a powerful name too. Didn't know the women. I just wanted to go and be unknown and just sat. I came home crying. My husband was like, didn't you just come from, is this the move of God? No, you broke it. Well, what's wrong with you? Didn't you just come from an empowering women's conference? You know what grieved me? That they weren't being taught how to stand. And they weren't being taught how to withstand. Because there's times you can't stand. You got to withstand the blows. And I went home. Oh, Laura, I was brokenhearted. And I cried. I said, Lord, this is crazy. Why am I burdened? Man, I can't stand cotton candy at women's conferences. Because life is hard and life is real. And whether you saved or you're the saint or you ain't, life still hits you. But the Holy Spirit would pose this question to me. And I didn't know what to say. And he said, what did God give to Hannah? Did he give her a word? Did he give her a strategy? Did he speak to her in a small, still voice? And I thought, no, I don't remember the Lord speaking to her. But I went home and I started to read. And you know, it's funny because we do go through things where we kind of drag our feet with God. Well, Lord, you know that I've had my times of hours with you and prayer time with you. And right now I'm just not feeling it because the burden of these things going on and situations, they're heavy and they hurt. And so you drag your feet and God wants to speak to you, but you just kind of like take forever to get there. And I kind of glanced through Hannah. I said, man, I don't see anything. I see her husband coming in and asking her, why do you weep? Why don't you eat? Why is your heart grieved? And then he has the audacity. I've seen my husband do this sometimes. Knowing that she desired just one son, he comes to say, am I not better than 10 sons, honey? Wow. And I don't know what it is, but I read how Hannah made her way to the temple. And out of all the religious rhetoric that I heard as a young Christian years ago, this was one thing. Don't go to the Lord with a bad attitude. You can't go to God all messed up. You got to be right. Right attitude, right heart. And for a long time, I thought, man, if I feel a mess, I can't go before God in prayer. I can't go upset. I can't go mad at him. Oh, my God, that I can't tell anybody that I'm mad at God. Because it was a religious woman in my life that said, you need to have more faith. You need to just snap out of it. Put you on some praise music. Do your little dance. Get on your face. And you know what? Honestly, sometimes you just don't feel like it. But then I read about Hannah. How she went and she was in bitterness of soul. And she prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. That means she greatly wept. And she cries out to the Lord. If you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget me, give me a male child and I will give him to you, Lord, all the days of his life. She's begging, she's pleading, she's hurting, she's dealing with her rival who comes to provoke her. Can you imagine? The Bible says that year by year she went up to the house of the Lord. And I thought about this. When God gives you a promise for the first time for your new season, you be like, praise God. You do your little dance. Woo! I'm blessed. Too blessed to be stressed. Right? I mean, let's be real. It's on its way. It's on its way. It's on its way. Says I'm believing. The enemy won't trip me up, but I'm believing. But then time passes and it don't come when you thought. So you get a little more serious. Praise God. Lord, I love you, Lord. Yes. You're going to do it. You leave a little encouraged, right? Little second wind. Lying devil. God's going to do it. Yes. Getting your devotional prayer. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. Singing in the house. Singing in the shower. Singing in the car. Praying in the car. Praying for the people on the bus. Praying for the people crossing the street. This is working my brownie points. Lord, you're bringing it closer. Then you look at the calendar and it's another month. It's another 5 months. It's another year. And then you get tired of that same message. That same recycled message. Nobody wants to talk about the mess. Nobody wants to talk about the trial. Nobody wants to talk about the testing. Everybody's talking about be strong, be of good courage, for the Lord thy God go with you. Amen. And then you have an enemy that tells you, ain't nothing producing in you. Because the enemy is a sniper spirit. And he watches you dance. And he watches you run around the church. And he watches you standing in the gap for your sisters. And he watches you. And then he sees you. Oh, little bad day. Oh, another bad day. Oh, that little fire, that little light of mine. She ain't letting it shine. She's almost weak. She's doubting God. I'm going to send her that sister that gets on her nerves. Can I be real? I'm going to stir the kids up to drive her crazy. I'm going to put that lioness that she don't even recognize she is on a three-legged table so she can wobble weeble. And then he sees it. This is a time. Let me use some weak links around her. This is a blow that's gonna take the breath out of her. And I can imagine Penina. Look at all my kids, girl. Don't they look cute? Go kiss your daddy Elkanah, babies. Go love on him. Thank you, honey, for my portion, even though it's not double. But I get a portion, Hannah, you see, because I got his kids and you don't. You ain't nothing. You can't have babies. Something's wrong. God's cursed you. He ain't with you. You see, because you got to understand, back in that day, being childless was looked down upon as a punishment from God. And when there was childless wives found in her day, like Sarai and Rachel and Samson's mother, they looked down on it because there was an expectation of the seed that would be the Messiah. So every woman had the hope that it would be her. But if you didn't have kids, because back in the day, it was a social embarrassment for the family because children were a symbol of status and wealth. Not purses, not shoes, not all the jewelry. Children. And Penina had a couple of children, unnamed, but she had a couple. And so what do you think the enemy comes and creates so that she struggles with? Her sense of self-worth. That she had been unable to conceive and produce. Because barren is different than having the womb closed by God. Barren means that you're not producing, you're incapable, you are sterile, you are unfruitful, you are ineffective. That's what the enemy was telling her. You fool. Have you ever heard the slander of the enemy in your ear? Man, there are days that he is in my ear. You ain't called. You ain't nobody. You think you did well speaking at blah, blah, blah. Look at how you're acting today. Look at how you're down today. Man, if they'd see you like that, a hot mess, they, pastor, who, what, where, when, how? Your mama drives you crazy. Your kids drive you crazy. Your husband drives you crazy. The cat drives you crazy. The dog drives you crazy.
That's real. That is so real.
You don't even pick up the phone when Sister So-and-so answers. Aren't you supposed to be discipling her?
Oh, Jesus, help us.
But I searched the scripture. And it doesn't say in any version that Hannah was barren. I told my husband all these years of hearing preaching on Hannah, I always understood she was barren. And if you're wondering how I searched all the scriptures, it's through internet where you can see the Bible scripture a million times, all the versions, Aramaic, ISV, ESV, King James Version, New King James Version, God's Word. And not one of them said that she was barren. They all said God had closed her womb or God had kept her from having children, or God had shut up her womb, which tells me at one time it was open. Yes. See, that ought to bless somebody right there. Yes. God closed what would be utilized to develop and rest and birth a great seed. She wasn't barren. She was not incapable of producing. She was not sterile. She was not unfruitful. She was not infected. God had closed her womb. Closed by God. In other words, God, who is a master of the womb and the workings of the womb in a woman, formed a boundary or a barrier. He restricted it. It was not public for just anything to come in. It was exclusive. It was not open to anybody's ideas or arguments. He had reserved her womb for him. She was never barren. I came to tell you that you're not barren. God may have shut you up in that sense because there was some wondrous work that he is doing that right now you can't comprehend. You see, if he had to close it, it was once open. Because the other translations say that God did not permit her. He had kept her from. She was capable, but God said, not yet. The Bible says that what he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open. The wondrous working of Almighty God in the womb of a woman. Women of God, you got to know your worth. You are not like every other woman. You've got a kingdom mandate on you. You're not a blend or a blur. You're distinguished. He is forming you and molding you. And there are necessary blemishes that need to come out of you, like me. The womb. This is the place where we understand that life is formed or produced, and it's made so that it can expand or increase in size, that the scope can gain volume. It's durable. It's ever changing to meet the requirements for what's going to be fertilized. The insert of a life-giving seed that provides the necessary nutrients to develop, where it is guarded and kept, where this life finds rest during its final stages of development before coming forth. That's how precious your womb is. Some of you, when you were pregnant and you had a precious baby in your womb, maybe required bed rest, and you rested on the bed. You didn't care if it was days, if it was weeks, if it was months. But to preserve and hold the life that you desire to see and hold in your arms, you rested. You might have hated it, but you rested. If he told you to eat right, you try to eat right. I know I tried, but I still went from 140 to 206 pounds. My God, I never returned to 140, but I'm not at 206 for sure, but still. But God, the wonder worker of the womb. Oh, there was praises. I will give thanks to you, God, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. And so the God who does the wondrous workings in the womb declares, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you came out of the womb, I set you apart. You weren't here yet. In his destiny designed before you were inserted in the womb. He knew you. He knew what he would form. He knew the wondrous work of your life. You didn't get here by accident. I know that's so cliche, but there is a purpose for you to fulfill in him. The Bible says that God called us from the womb. And that from the body of our mother, he named us. And it also says that the Lord who formed us from the womb are to be his servant. And so it's a complex work to even begin to understand. Because some of you can sit here and say, but you don't know the mother I had or the father I didn't have or the abuse I went through or the lack. It doesn't matter, because when you accept Jesus Christ into your life, he begins to teach you by the Holy Spirit that indwells inside of you the kingdom life. And the Holy Spirit begins to come in and do a changing work inside of you and me to develop us to the women that we should be. Not what people labeled us as, not what others said about us. Those who threw us away, gave up on us, rejected us, abused us, labeled us. But he's got to do a cleansing work in us. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 11:5, just as you do not know the path of the wind and how bones are formed in the womb of the pregnant woman, so you do not know the activity of God who makes all things. I believe, like me, there are women in here that have been going through a season where it has become so complex to understand. Everything has come and sat on you like it did on me. But to hold on to the word and believe that God's going to fulfill what he said to me when my heart was tender, when I had a listening ear. But now I feel like Hannah, Lord, I'm heart sick. I remember crying to my husband. I said, I am heart sick. You don't understand. You don't. I love you and I see what you do. And I love that you encourage me. But this time you just don't understand. You don't know the depth of my rivals and how deeply he provokes me and how bitterly it makes me feel, how aggressively he makes fun of me, how he taunts me severely, how he irritates me day in and day out, because he tells me that I'm barren and I'm believing for God's promises, but I feel like I'm barren because there's no birth. And I've been waiting day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. And I'm tired. I'm so tired. And I see Hannah, that year after year, as she went up to the house of the Lord, she would get provoked. Man, every year, it just ain't coming. Every year, Lord, it seemed like this was the year, because the beginning of the year, prophetic word was, this is it. This is a year of restoration. This is a year of the harvest. This is a year of more. This is a year of... And I don't know about you, but I got to a place where I needed the truth. Man, if it's something I hate, don't play with me. You better tell me the truth. I'm woman enough to take it. I'm built to last. Just tell me. Don't play no games with me. Lord, I can take it. If it breaks my heart, well, it breaks my heart. At least something has been confirmed. And what do you do, like the Holy Spirit asked? What do you say? What did the Lord say to Hannah? I said, he didn't say nothing. There was no small voice. There was no strategy. Man, there was no sign. I read and I read and I read and there was nothing. What do you do? What do you do? And Hannah began to lose her appetite. She began to lose her hope. She began to go into despair and was vexed. But you know what? God was involved in the delay, in postponing. And even though there was Elkanah, who she loved, and Penina, who she didn't love, even though they looked at her outward circumstances, God was already moving with his plan. And in his timing, he would bring fulfillment to her life. And I believe that, like Job, she may have asked at times in her tears, "Lord, your hand shaped me and they made me. Will you now turn and destroy me?" I've been there, man. Did I feel a reservation? And I love the Lord. Man, I love him. I know what he brought me through. I know how he continues to bring me through. But there are just times that you don't want to be mad, but you're kind of mad. And you're like, "Lord, you know everything, huh? There ain't no way I can hide this." And I think on better days, she may have petitioned before God, "Your hands made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments." Don't you have those days where you feel a little encouraged and, you know, a little more peace? And the other day, and, "Okay, God, yes, I'm going to get back into my routine of reading, spending time with you, prayer. I feel my hope coming." But then it's like the enemy comes and bursts your bubble. "You know what, God? Oh, I cried one day. I never asked for this. I never asked to be a leader in women's ministry. I couldn't stand women's ministry. Oh, I'm sorry, but cat fights and competition. I was like, women's ministry, I'm not called a women's ministry. I'll tear them up. No. They don't want to hear from me. I'm not right, Lord. You don't want to send me. You got to soften me up." But I did cry. I said, "Lord, I did not ask you for this. These desires are not my natural desires. It's your heart. I believed you. Oh, I believed you, Lord. But I didn't put myself here to be a pastor. I didn't put myself here to be this leader in ministry. I didn't put myself here, Lord. I didn't ask for none of this. I never remember asking for any of this right here." And I know there's women in here that are having that time. The word says that the Lord will accomplish what concerns us. His loving kindness is everlasting. The Lord, don't forsake the work of your hands. And as reality stood for Hannah, day by day, year after year, she grew more discouraged. She was physically sick, no appetite. Man, can you imagine when she sees her husband who deeply loved her? "I still can't bear you any children." And then sharing the woman with the woman that ridiculed her. I don't know about that back in the day, because today that wouldn't fly. No, sir. But then the priest of her home, being so, you know, letting it fly over his head, didn't understand and couldn't solve her problem. And I look at the word and I see when she made her way to pray to the Lord, even the high priest or the church person, people, misunderstood her motives. Matter of fact, he thought she was drunk. But instead of retaliating or totally giving up hope, Hannah prayed. She was an intercessor at heart. And you know what? She had to make a decision one day to bring her problem honestly before God. And I found that that's the most difficult thing to do, even though God knows everything. I'm like, God, the word says that even before I speak a word, you even know what it is before it formulates and comes out of me. Why do I gotta say this? It hurts so much. Do I really gotta sit and tell you this when you read my heart? I'm so embarrassed to say. I'm so mad at you. I'm so tired of being misread and misunderstood. I'm so tired of doing good only to get hurt. I'm so tired of being misused. I know I sound selfish, but I'm so tired. One of the things the Lord has taken away or asked me to leave is a career that had nothing but advancement for me. And it's been the most humbling, gosh, 7 or 8 years of my life. And one day my husband was praying over me and we had suffered a loss of a pregnancy. And I felt beaten by the enemy. My family didn't understand my life. My mom, my siblings, my dad didn't understand why I exited out of my job because God's calling me to the ministry. And he said, I hear the Lord saying, he's giving you your dignity back. And I cried because I didn't understand. I felt so stripped of my identity. I felt heartsick. And there are times that I have like that in my life where I feel that my heart is so sick. And one day in prayer, it was a dream. Oh my gosh, it was a dream. That I'm going through these things and I had ministered to some young girls in the juvenile detention at Hayes County and came back and the Lord was just sending me dreams. And I heard the Lord say, because what it was, there were two or three really fat little sheep, a lot of fleece, full. And I could see, as I got closer, they had blemishes, like little spots. And then I could see this huge, heavy foot stomping on them. And I woke up, and that concerned me. And the Lord said to me, the enemy, that was his foot stomping on my children. He said, the enemy has not grown stronger than you. You've only grown weary. That's why you feel so weak. But the enemy would cause you to believe that he's growing stronger against you when really you've grown weary. And those blemishes, the Lord said to me, are the heart issues that I need to cleanse from you. Although Hannah had felt so ineffective and so empty and incapable and incompetent, she made her decision to make her way towards God and prayed in faith. If it's one thing that I've come to find, and Hannah had it, that the baseline of her heart had an unbreakable love for God. And she went before him, and God would open the way for his works. You see, Hannah had to resolve within herself to leave the issues with God. And there are some of you today that you absolutely have to resolve tonight that you're going to leave those heart issues with God. They may not be like mine. They may not be like your neighbor, but you absolutely have to leave them with God. I want to tell you something, that Hannah did not see that God was using the tension of her household for his purposes. The shortcomings of people around her, like her husband and Peninnah, that wasn't going to determine a downfall of her destiny. But he certainly would work it out to move her through the strain and the stress of those relationships to bring her son into the world. You see, God didn't want to just give her some nameless son. What he desired to give her to birth was a crowning work of his glory, his power, and his grace. And that's what he desires to do through each and every one of you. When I read about Hannah in the Word, and she prays to the Lord, and she gets to a place where her lips were moving, and the priest watched her and didn't hear a sound, she was speaking to God from her heart. And Hannah says to the priest, after his accusation that she was drunk, she says, "No, my Lord, I'm a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief, I have spoken until now." And I believe that the time to speak out of the abundance of your complaint and your grief is right now. Because it wasn't until she took the action to confess before God that God could cleanse her, that God could heal her, that God could help her, and that God could open up heaven on her behalf. And the Lord showed me the man of God. I used him to pronounce peace over her, Jennifer. That's what I bestowed upon Hannah. Then when she gave me everything that was heavy in her heart, I gave her peace. She didn't need words. She didn't need a strategy. She didn't need some cotton candy. She needed the peace that surpasses all understanding. And that's what I covered her in. And the man of God said to her, "The Lord God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him." And the word of God says that when she went away, she ate and her face was no longer sad. God doesn't work just from scratch, but he brings order and beauty out of all the mess. What God wants to do through you is to bring a great work of deliverance. You see, Peninnah's children had no names, but Hannah's son was Samuel, requested of God. And it's in this time that God would deposit in his daughters a great kingdom work that would bring realignment to such a moral decline. Now I'm talking kingdom business now. And some of you will hear it and leave it, and some of you will grasp it and receive it. And the thing that God has been telling you and asking you to do it. And even if it's bringing a realignment to your life or a correction or you need to repent, do it. Because that's the only way that he'll release what he desires to deposit in you. The Lord said that it's like an alabaster box, what's precious. That's what he wants to break forth when you birth. Priceless when people see it. The fragrance of it. That you do something in the Spirit of God that brings new vision, new light, new life. But you got to make that decision. You have to make the decision. When I was pregnant with my son, and I'm going to end with this. My husband and I, and we share, so this is nothing behind his back or anything. There was a time that we had backslid years ago. We were in the world. We met. I got pregnant with my second daughter, this beautiful young lady here with the dark hair, Liliana. And my mother-in-law was like, oh my God, you guys are going to church with me because I'm a holy, sanctified woman of God and I can't have this blemish in my family. So there I went to church, scared. Had a daughter already. Here comes another baby. We're not married. And little by little, the Lord started working on us. And we had our daughter. And now we had two little girls. And eventually, we fell in love with the Lord. And we wanted to be right. We loved each other, but we wanted to be right. So we got married, and our girls were our flower girls. But it was like when we got married in the church, we got comfortable. I'm talking to those of you that are comfortable. Don't be comfortable too long. We started saying, oh, we don't got to go to church today. We're good. And we were good. Started staying home. I'm tired, man. Money was good. And life was good. Married. And children. We don't got to go all the time, honey. Well, little by little, we stopped going. God's still with. We can pray from home. We can watch whoever on TV. God's everywhere. You know, God knows me by name. But little by little, we started falling back, falling back, falling back. And then the world started coming in. Addiction came in. An affair came in and it tore me up as a woman. Because back then, in that day, I was Miss Mexican Barbie doll with blonde hair and 40 pounds off of me and hair and nails done, Regis, and you know, took me forever to get ready. And a whole different woman, man, really. Very, you know, came back. I don't need you. I got a good job. I could take care of my kids. You're going to have problems. I don't need your problems. And if you get with someone else, she better be better than me. Can I just be real? I mean, some of us Latinas are very prideful, and I was one of them. Well, guess what? That somebody else came. And she was totally opposite than me. And you know what? It broke whatever I thought my womanhood was. And an addiction that my husband had and an error that I had and pushing him away and letting the enemy come in and kick my children around and slap me around and my husband bound. The affair was one thing. But I didn't know my husband anymore. I didn't know how to help him because I found later that he was addicted to meth. Never seen that drug in action. He was hiding. He was lying. I thought I was crazy. I thought I was paranoid. My daughters saw me and their dad fight like animals. We were out of the church, too embarrassed to go back. didn't have nobody around us, no people of God around us. And all the threats that I made to my husband that I would leave him, I couldn't. Man, I love my husband. I love him. I knew he loved me too. And one day on this little house that we had on the west side that I moved into, back to my what I felt safe in, the west side, he stayed. And he was resting. And my girls were asleep. Oh, I desired a son, and I just tucked that desire deep in my heart, and it was covered. Didn't say nothing about ever wanting another kid. Because my argument was, I can't even see us together tomorrow. How could I hope to have a son? And just buried it deep. But I remember one day, it was in the evening, I sat in this little kitchen dining area, you know, where everything is just like in one room, and not even a room, because the living room's there too, so it's like one big room. And I cried. And I had a handful of pills. And I'm a strong woman, let me tell you. But I said, God, I have never felt this kind of pain before. And I know maybe you're not even hearing me because we haven't been in church and we've done bad things. But I just want to die. But I knew my girls and I love them. We're in the other room. And I cried, Lord, you got to do something, because I've just never felt this kind of pain before. I've lost my identity. Whatever I thought I was, I'm not. I just want my family. And he gave me rest. I didn't get an answer, but he gave me rest. The next morning, I was looking through my husband's clothes to wash. And mind you, I didn't know that he was on something. I knew he was on something. I didn't know what. And he got real hysterical about a pair of shorts. And you go through the pants because you're looking for money or other numbers. I'm just cleaning them, honey. That's it. I don't want to mess up any money you might have, you know. And there it was, woman of God. A glass pipe. And I felt terrified. I just heard about meth, didn't know what it did. I just knew my husband was acting crazy and strange, and I didn't really know him anymore. And I heard the Lord say, get that pipe, take it outside, and crush it with your feet. Thank you, baby. And I was scared because I was like, man, what? I don't know how to handle this, Lord. And I threw it outside. And I had my shoe on, and I crushed it, and I cried. You're not going to have my family. You're not going to have my husband. I didn't know how to pray right. I wasn't speaking like this yet. And God intervened. God intervened. And I'll tell you this, that he restored our marriage. He gave us back time that we had lost. There was such a beautiful forgiveness that came when I cried out to him. And there was a beautiful strength that followed our marriage. And the deep desire of my heart that was buried. One day I found out I was pregnant. And my husband was like, you're pregnant? It's from you. I'm pregnant and it's your baby. Okay? I haven't been monkeying around or nothing, you know? You better get off that stuff you're taking. Get off it. So we went to the doctor. Same doctor that was with me with my two girls. And when it was sonogram time, he did the sonogram. Belly's growing. And he says, huh, I see some outdoor plumbing. It's a boy. It's a boy. Outdoor plumbing. It's a boy. I said, man, Lord, you are amazing. I'm having a boy. I love my girls, but only you knew that I wanted that boy. And you know what God did? You see, I know that in pregnancy, you know, the first trimester you feel little flutters, and in the second trimester you feel the baby stretching and kicking, and you show the belly, look at the baby like a little alien, you know. But then the third trimester, everything shifts, and you're uncomfortable, and I'm telling you, I went from 140 to 206, and I'm swollen, and I'm, you know, I'm slowing down, and my baby's movements are slowing down. There were several women in the church that we were going to be restored. And they started having their babies. They started popping. And I was excited for them, but then I was kind of lonely and sad. Like, man, when's this baby coming? My baby, my baby, my baby. And even though the baby was inside of me and there was movement and proof that it was there, I felt like I was never going to have this baby. Because there was a little isolated kick. A little once in a while movement. The little bag was packed. I'm ready. The doctor's like, man, you're due already. He says, we can induce. And something inside me said, don't induce yet. I said, no, I'm going to pass. I don't want to induce. He says, well, I feel really bad for you. You're pretty swole. I know, doctor. How dare you tell me my son only eats this much and I'm the one eating everything else. You don't know. I feel like I'm starving, and I didn't feel like that before. And I just got so, like, discouraged. Man, these women, they're bringing their babies to the next service. And but I remember celebrating a birthday on the 22nd. And then we got home, and I thought I had too many beans, to be honest with you, because I felt kind of funny and queasy, and I was like, oh, gosh, too much Mexican food. But then they started the little labor pains, and it was time to go to the hospital, and it was time to deliver my son. I said, wow, Lord, the son that I've been waiting for 9 years. And the stupid anesthesiologist, I'm sorry, he numbed me from waist up. So I was horrified because he had to numb me from waist down. So I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to die. How can I deliver the baby? I don't feel anything. Ah! Nevertheless, we had our son. And prior to having him, I knew I would name him John David, first name, after daddy. But the Holy Spirit told me Josiah. I didn't know who Josiah was or what that meant. And I read he was a king. He did great things and rebuilt for the Lord. But his name meant healed by Jehovah. And on my 30th birthday, I delivered my son. God is so interested in the details of your life, women, that it wasn't enough for him to give me a son or my marriage restored. He made it so personal that the greatest birthday gift I'd ever have, that my husband can never outdo, is that baby boy that was so buried in my heart. Women of God, you will not be able to birth what God wants to bring forth through you if you don't get rid of the offense in your heart. You have to get rid of the unforgiveness, the bitterness, the hatred, the envy, the doubt, the fear, Because that will create an umbilical cord spiritually that will choke the life of what God wants to do through you. Because his word is faithful and true. Hannah had a son. And she dedicated him for the rest of his life to the Lord. My desire is to see you in the manifestation of what God has promised you. And I want you to consider what it may be that is possibly creating that umbilical cord around your spiritual baby, around the promise that God has given. Whether you're mad at the Lord, whether you're angry at someone else, whether you're disappointed, whether you're upset with yourself. And I want to challenge you to let it go. I believe there's women of God that are doing fine and they've had their time with the Lord, like with the Lord, like I did, and I let it go. And he strengthened me and he purged some things out of me. He really did. And I feel great. And I'm refocused and realigned. I want that for you. I don't know what's been hindering that birth, but God wants to deliver it. But it's not going to be with that in your heart. He has to bring a cleansing work. But you got to confess it. Because he's a gentleman and he's not going to force you. And so I would like to join you in prayer if you need a woman of God. And I want to invite Pastor Laura up here with me to pray with you. Because we believe in the kingdom work. And we know that there's great things assigned to you. And I'm telling you, believe him again. Believe him again. So if you want to come up for prayer because you're ready to release that thing, I want you to come stand up here. And we're going to pray. And then we're going to be beautiful in our countenance. And then we're going to grub down like Hannah did. Amen.